There's No Waiting, episode number 422, A Return to Mayberry. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the great stuff they got over there. They got DVDs, books, even got a little toy Andy Griffith Show squad car you can go check out. Go check at weaversdepartmentstore.com. You won't be disappointed. A lot of fun stuff there. weaversdepartmentstore.com. Did you get that? Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 422 is Adam Davis. Adam Davis. Thank you, Adam. It's great to have you as a executive producer of tonight's show. He's one of our patrons over at Patreon. So if you guys don't know about Patreon, you can go over to Patreon and become a sponsor of the show, a patron of the show. Right now we have 8 and I'm getting about $20 an episode total. I thought I'd be able to actually create an app for the phones for $20 an episode, but that's not going to work out. I'm going to have to raise that number, mainly because the $20 is not consistent. Because people come and people go and it keeps going up and down. And once I start doing that, it's kind of a commitment. So I've got a little issue there, but I want to thank all of our patrons for this. Hey, if you're not a patron and you're just here listening, I am so glad to have you here. It's always fun to have a friend, a good Mayberry person joining me here in Mayberry. And that's what I consider you to be. So thank you for being here with me. My name is Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. If you don't know who I am, I run the imayberry.com website. My wife and I run Weaver's Department Store, and we've just got all kinds of fun Mayberry stuff that go on here in our house. If you look in the background, if you're watching the video version of this show, you'll see all my fun, a bunch of my Mayberry stuff behind me. People said Aunt Bee would be mad at me for the clutter that I have behind me. And I have had people say they're distracted when looking back there. So this week we're going to be going a return to Mayberry. Now, what this is about, I was recently running across some reports, things on websites and stuff like that. And I found a website called TV Overmind. TV Overmind. And the article that I ran across is by a fellow named Ryan Vandergriff. And it's called A Return to Mayberry, Remembering the Andy Griffith Show. So we're going to be covering that today and talking about that, at least parts of it. I don't want to read the whole thing to you. I want you to go over to the website. I'm going to have a link in the show notes for it, and you can check it out there. And we're also going to be hearing from Randy Turner. He's doing his This Week in Mayberry History once again for us. And this week it's going to be about, what do you know, The Return to Mayberry, TV movie. So he's going to be talking about that. That's what got me thinking about some of this. So I ran across this article. So I think you're going to enjoy this. It's a little different than what we usually talk about, but I thought it would be a fun one to run through. So I'm going to play us a little background music by the VW Boys and turn it down low, because this is a very special story. Now, let me tell you about this. In this story, Ryan, I did say his name right, didn't I? Yes, Ryan, he wrote a good bit about remembering the Andy Griffith Show. Now, what he's talking about in the first few paragraphs is that, you know, he loved all kinds of old stuff as he was growing up. When he was a kid, he always wanted his dad and him to have a special connection. And it didn't really happen, but, you know, he didn't like some of the stuff his dad liked. And as he grew older, he lost some of that connection with his dad. Now, he liked a lot of stuff. He liked Frankenstein Monster and Our Gang and Rod Sterling Twilight Zone episodes. He enjoyed all those things. But as a kid, he realized that as he kind of put away the things that his dad was really interested in, you know, he kind of lost connection with his dad. So he goes on, and as the paragraphs will move along, and this is where I want to pick it up. He said, "My dad loved the 1960s television series, The Andy Griffith Show. I mean, he was completely transfixed by the sleepy fictional town in North Carolina called Mayberry. Ditto with many of the citizens, the stoic single father, Andy Taylor, the lovable dimwit deputy, Barney Fife, Andy's son, Opie, and erstwhile Aunt Bee, forever baking pies and changing out linens. Now, I wasn't the brightest bulb in the package of light bulbs, but I would have to have had been completely blind to have missed my old man's dogged devotion to the show. So I began to watch it with him, wanting to understand what it was about this particular comedy that made him so happy for 30 minutes at a time. I mean, there were other shows he could have watched that I thought were equally funny and which spanned the ages, you know, like Bachelor Father, Leave It to Beaver, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, The Brady Bunch. What was it, for crying out loud, about this one show that stood out above everything else? I was determined to find out. A funny thing happened on my road to the fictional burg of Mayberry. I went from detached junior league detective, sort of bargain basement, unofficial Hardy Boy, to a dyed-in-the-wool, bona fide Andy Griffith Show aficionado. I was no longer watching the show apart from my father, but alongside him, as we both thrilled to the latest exploits of Andy and Barney, laughed ourselves silly to the slapstick antics of Goober and Gomer Pyle. I mean, that Gregory Peck mimic, old Goob, was Judy. You know, how could you not like that? And I learned the poignant life lessons with Opie. For about half an hour, from the age of 8 until I graduated and left home for good, a decade later, the Andy Griffith Show and his chief producer and writer, Aaron Rubin, was a tenuous glue that held my old man and I together. He wrote this better than I read it, by the way. So you can go and check it out. I'll have a link in the show notes. Back to the article. Like a few other oddities from my childhood, the Andy Griffith Show is a slice of magic that has remained relevant and meaningful to me no matter what age I clock in at. It's more than earned that overused moniker of timeless and classic. Trying to figure out how this decades-old appeal is an exercise of futility. Yes, I grew up in the Deep South, much like the characters in Mayberry. But the North Carolina location of the show seems almost incidental, if not trivial. I've met many a fan of the show that can boast strong ties to the East or to the Midwest. Heck, the show can even brag of a global audience that feels right at home with the weekly humor and morality plays Andy and the gang would offer up. So what is it that has made the show such an evergreen of television medium? Preparing this article, I started to pore over episodes from the show's 8-year run, concentrating heavily on the first 5 years, which, as any true Andy Griffith Show fan can tell you, were the best. It's his opinion, not mine. Hold on. Not only were these episodes shot in glorious black and white, but they also boasted one of the best comedic turns of any medium, television or otherwise. Don Knotts literally stole the show on a weekly basis until his departure at the end of the 5th year of the show. The screwball antics of Knotts' Barney Fife were perfectly counterbalanced to Griffith's Andy Taylor on spot-on straight-man act. The introduction of color in the 6th season was ironically timed with the departure of Don Knotts, himself a one-man Technicolor factory. But something else comes shining through in those first 5 seasons. Heart. The Andy Griffith Show had more heart than any show before it, and certainly more than most shows that have followed it. Each episode was a Valentine to the TV watching audience. The characters seemed to exist outside of the 1960s era in which it was produced, and indeed harkened back to a simpler time in a post-World War II era when no one in your town was a stranger and everyone pulled together to find a solution to a problem. Heck, thinking about the words I've just typed, perhaps the America represented in the Andy Griffith Show never quite existed. Maybe the brilliance of the show is that it displays in a funhouse mirror style a lovely distorted view of an America that it might have once been in a fevered dream as imagined by some beautiful dreamer, and as it might still be today if only we could get our collective acts together and find a clarity to make it manifest. The closest I ever got to my old man was when we watched the season opener of season 4, Opie the Birdman. It seems strange all these years later to make the case for a television show from 1963 as being a key moment in my relationship with my father, but it was. The episode speaks of the indelible nature of life and death, and sometimes fragile line a parent walks when trying to instill in their child what is just and what is right, and how to treat your fellow man, and the intangible nature of a world that surrounds them. In that episode, Opie kills a mother bird. Motherless himself, yet with a father and an aunt who love him beyond all reason, the young boy is taught a valuable lesson about responsibility and cleaning up a mess we can leave behind us. He tasked himself with the mission to take care of those orphan baby birds, realizing through his own deeds and a stern yet loving words of his father just what his actions have cost. At the end of the episode, after nursing the baby birds to full health and watching them fly out into the air and flush the trees of the safe town of Mayberry, Opie exchanges a soliloquy with his father that at once is simple and bracing. "Cage sure looks empty, awful empty, doesn't it, Pa?" "Yes, son. Sure does. But don't the trees seem nice and full?" Now, I don't know if I cried when I saw that episode for the first time with my old man. But with the passing of the years and looking back on so much of my own joy, love, heartbreak, and yes, redemption, I can honestly say, with all my very own lessons learned, that the tears come very easily now, indeed. When I was a kid, I wanted nothing more than the love of my father, my old man. For a short period of time, thanks to the Andy Griffith Show, I, at least, achieved a connection and a bond that is as close enough to love for me to take comfort in after all these years. Thanks, Andy. Folks, that is the article, and there's more to it at the beginning if you'd like to read the beginning of the article as well. I'll have a link in the show notes. And Ryan, wow, that's very good. Good, you caught that, I think, very well. So we want to thank Ryan, and TVOverMind.com is where this came from. The links, again, will be in the show notes, and I hope you enjoyed that. I think he captured really well just some of the what we feel as Mayberry fans of the Andy Griffith Show, what we feel about just the things that we see on the Andy Griffith Show. All right. So now it's that special time of the week when we get to hear the This Week in Mayberry History. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
As we know, The Andy Griffith Show ended in 1968, though the town and characters lived on another 3 years in the spinoff series Mayberry RFD. That was the last any of us got to see of Mayberry, until the 1986 TV movie Return to Mayberry, which aired 31 years ago this week on April the 13th. In the movie, we learned that Andy had become a U.S. postal inspector, now living in Cleveland. Andy had returned to Mayberry for the birth of Opie's first child and to run once again for sheriff. Of course, he quickly learned that Barney had also filed paperwork to run, and Andy did not want to run against Barney. There is more to the rest of the story, of course, including a sea monster being spotted in Myers Lake, but that is not what was really important about the movie. The overall quality of the show did not equal the Andy Griffith Show in its prime, but what mattered was how wonderful it was to see so many of our old friends again, and especially to see them together. I've spoken before of Ron Howard's decision to return and act in the TV movie, even though he had already become a successful director at that point. We also got to see Helen again, Briscoe, Charlene, and the Darling Boys, Ernest T. Bass, Howard Sprague, and a sober Otis Campbell. We got to see Gomer and Goober on screen together in Mayberry for only the second time. There are things slightly amiss or slightly sad in the TV movie. We learned by implication that Gomer and his sweetheart Luann must have gone their separate ways. Likewise, Charlene is no longer with Dud, though it is not explained if she finally followed through with the divorce or if Dud had died. We are shown that Aunt Bee has died. And Delina is nowhere to be seen, nor is Andy and Helen's child. Floyd, Clara, and Emmett are also gone. Even the town itself does not look exactly the same. Much of this was unavoidable. Francis Bavier had retired and was a bit of a recluse. Howard McNear, Hope Summers, and Paul Hartman had all passed away. The 40 acres backlot had been raised in 1976, so the California town of Los Olivos had to stand in. But none of these points overshadow how great it was to see so much of the cast together again. There were also great cameo roles. Opie's receptionist at the newspaper was played by Karen Knotts, Don's daughter, and Rance Howard played a minister in a scene that was perhaps the most important of all. Many believe the color episode of The Andy Griffith Show, involving the class reunion, was the low point of the series. In it, we learned that Thelma Lou had married, breaking Barney's heart. But when Rance played a minister in Return to Mayberry, it was to perform the marriage ceremony of Barney and a now-divorced Thelma Lou, finally rectifying the class reunion episode that had seemed to embody a loss of hope that was atypical for the show. In the TV movie, the matter was finally made right, as it should have been all along. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
All right. Thanks, Randy. I want to thank him for that. Again, if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the daily This Week in Mayberry History that Randy's doing, you can send him an email over at turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you get an email every day letting you know about it. So these have been such an amazing addition to the show, and I just want to thank him for it. Last week, we had some good input. Now, some of the things he talked about in this episode was Rance Howard. Now, I didn't know if you remembered him being in the actual movie, but he played the preacher that married Barney and Thelma Lou. I thought that was really cool. There's a lot of really good stuff that was in that. So you can go back and listen to it again. Now that you've heard it, you can rewind and listen. So there's a lot of information out there on the web if you'd like to go. I'm going to have some links in the show notes. One of them is for the Return to Mayberry Wikipedia page. It has a lot of really cool information in it. Some of it is the stuff that he mentioned, and if you scroll down through it, you'll see all kinds of information about the plot and the different all the actors and actresses that were in the movie. And one of them was Karen Knotts. Now, I'm going to, for the folks watching on the video version, I'm going to play this. And this is Karen's scene, so you'll be able to hear it on the audio. So this is the Return to Mayberry.
Oh, hello.
Is Mr. Taylor?
Return to Mayberry version.
May I tell him who's calling, please?
Mr. Taylor.
Oh, you're Mr. Taylor's Mr. Taylor.
That's Karen.
His father.
Yeah.
Would you like a cookie?
No, thanks.
Beef jerky?
No, thanks.
So she played Ron's Opie's receptionist. So there she is. So that was her. So if you're watching the movie and you hear that's her voice, you'll recognize her voice. Karen has been at many of the Mayberry events. She is great to be around. Really fun person to be around. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff in Return to Mayberry. One of the things that Weavers has, they have the Andy Griffith Show 50th anniversary DVD, and that DVD, you get 17 episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. And it includes the Return to Mayberry movie is on here. It's also in the season sets that you can get the big season set that looks like a checker box looking thing. It's also in there too, but that costs a little bit more than the 50th anniversary DVD. So if you're looking for the Return to Mayberry, it will be coming out later in 2017 on DVD as a release. Now, I don't know what kind of special stuff it might have, if it's going to have any specials, but if it does, that'll be awesome. Weavers will carry it. But for now, if you need it, you can get it this way. Really cool, cool stuff. All right, guys. I hope you have enjoyed it. It's always great to be with you here in Mayberry. I want to thank Randy for his great report he does every week. And I want to thank you guys for being here with me. Love to hear from you. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. You can call me, which is what I really like, at 888-684-8415. All right, guys, until next time, I hope you have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here. Love the Mayberry band. Right here on Two Chairs, No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Good night, guys.